Ksuvas Perk Base Mishnah Hey 2-5, another case of Hapesha Asr Hu Hapesha Heter. And here we're talking about a woman regarding her marital status. So the general rules are that, number one, a woman is assumed to be available to marry unless you know to the contrary. But number two, once a woman is known to have been an Ashes Ish, she already had been married before, so then she will not be permitted to marry somebody else until she can evidence that she is no longer married, meaning with a witness or with a get and so on. So here we're going to have a case of a pesha aser hu a pesha heter. We have a woman who is going to both confirm that she had been married, but also that she is now divorced. Now again, pesha aser hu a pesha heter works when, if the woman had said, if the person in question, the peh, the mouth who's giving the information, had said nothing, we would have followed course of action A. So then if this person is saying something's forbidden, which would lead you to say, you know, it's something, follow a course of action B, but don't do that because of some other reason, so we're back to reverting to A, that's a scenario where we'd say a pesha asr hu pesha iter, again, where if they would said nothing at all, we would have anyways allowed it. So here in our case, we have a Mishnah, where ha'isha sha'amra, the woman says, eishas ish ha'isi, I was a married woman. So now she's taken her out of the category of women who can marry anybody, and now she's saying that she was married, which makes her now be required to prove that she is no longer married before she can marry somebody else. Ugrusha ani, but she also testifies to us that she is now divorced. Ne'emenis, the Mishnah says she's believed, because again, sheha pesha aser hu pesha heter, the only reason why we'd in the first place presume to restrict her from marrying somebody is because of what she said, and what she's saying is, I have been married, but no longer. I'm now divorced. So we do believe her. Again, she owns the information, because without her saying anything, we would have let her marry anyways. There is a bit of a discussion regarding how much time is allowed to elapse between when she first says she is married and then later on says, oh, but now I'm divorced. Meaning, for example, if she says, I'm married, and then 6 months later she wants to marry somebody else, she says, I was married, but I'm divorced, if we'd accept that. At all events, the Gemara says we would accept the case where the woman has what's called an amasla. She has a good explanation for why she only gave us partial information. So, for example, a woman comes to town. She's important. She's beautiful. All the men are after her. And she just isn't being left alone. So she says, listen, I'm mekudeshes. I'm already engaged. I'm, you know, married to somebody else, committed to somebody else. So now leave her alone. 6 months later, she gets married to someone in town, and they say, wait a second, I thought you were Mekudesh to somebody else. She says, and this is her amasla, her explanation is, yeah, I said that because I need everyone to leave me alone. But now that I've chosen someone to marry, I want to marry them. And I'm Hapesha Asr Hu Pesha Heter. I'm the only one who told you I was married. And I'm telling you, that's not really true. Or that I'm divorced. In such scenarios, so then again, she would be believed. In contrast, what is clear is if a woman says, I'm married, and then she says, no, I'm not married after all, I never was married, that we would not believe, unless she said those two things, toch de dibor, you know, one immediately after the other, just a few seconds of one of the two pieces of information that she gave to the court. But if she says she's married today, and then tomorrow she can't take it back and say she's not after all, that we wouldn't believe. Again, without a legitimate amasla that explains why she did what she did. Now, Mishnah continues and says, "V'im yesh edim shahaisa eishes ish." If there were witnesses who confirmed this woman had been married before, and maybe she's still married now, for all we know, so then even if v'hi omeres grusha ani, she says, "Yeah, I was married, but now I'm divorced." Eina ne'emenes, she won't be believed because she no longer has the pesha aser. The pesha aser, the testimony which is making her forbidden to marry somebody else, are these other witnesses. Meaning, without her saying anything, we would not allow her to get married. So now she can't say she owns the information and believe her that she's divorced. No, to the contrary, we don't believe she is eligible to marry somebody else until she gives proof that she is divorced by bringing witnesses or a get. Interestingly, that's true even if, let's say, for example, what happens if she says, she is the first case of the Mishnah. She says, I had been married, but now I'm divorced. She's the Pesha Aser and the Pesha Heter, so therefore we let her get married. Then comes, 5 years later, witnesses that say, wait a second, that woman, she's still married to Mr. A in the other town from which she came. So now we'd believe those witnesses if she has no evidence to the contrary, and we would force her to get divorced from her second would-be husband because she's not allowed to be married to him. Okay, that would be the din in such a scenario over here, where she sort of loses her status of being the Pesha Asr even much later because other people come and give us that information. Now we'll contrast that to the next case of the Mishnah, which is a question about a woman being held captive by Gentiles. So the rule is that a woman who is held captive by Gentiles, we assume that they violated her, and she is now no longer allowed to be married to a Kohen. That assumption is just based on a chashash, a rabbinic concern, that this happens oftentimes. Indeed, more often than not, we'll assume that she actually wasn't taken advantage of, because a woman makes an effort that shouldn't happen, of course. Since there is still a significant concern, so we will rabbinically, unless they have information to the contrary, we will not let a woman who is held captive now go and marry a Kohen. So this woman says, Amra Nishbasi, she says, you should know that I actually was held captive earlier in my life, and therefore now the pendulum swings, that's a Pesha Asr, that's a reason not to allow her to marry a Kohen. But Utahora Ani, but I'm totally Tahora, meaning nothing happened to me and I'm still eligible to marry a Kohen. Nothing happened to me by the Gentiles. So then, Ne'emenis, she's again believed because she had Pesha Asr, who a Pesha hit there. The only information we have is her information, she owns it. If she said nothing, we would have let her marry a Kohen. So the fact that she said she had been held captive, which would make us think she shouldn't marry Cohen, can be negated by the fact she assures us that nothing happened at all. She's the Pesha Asr and the Pesha Hitter. But, Vimiesh Edim Shinish Beis, if other independent witnesses say that she had been held captive, so now she no longer has the Pesha Asr, they do. Therefore, she loses her privileged position. Meaning, without her testimony, we wouldn't let her get married. Even with her testimony, we don't let her get married because of this rabbinic enactment. And therefore, V'hi omeres tahora ani, even if she protests and says, yeah, but nothing happened, eina ne'emenis, she's not believed. Now, that said, v'im mishenises, if she went ahead after being the only person giving testimony, meaning based on the first line of this second, based on the first part of the Mishnah, where she is the Pesha Asr and the Pesha Heter, she says, I was held captive, but nothing happened. So we let her get married, says the Mishnah. And then, bo edim, and then the afterwards witnesses come and say, she was held captive, but she's already married. She's happily married to a Kohen in the meantime. Hare zulo teitze, here we don't make her get divorced from her husband. In contrast to the first case of the Mishnah, where we said if the witnesses come later, we would force her to get married from her, I'll call it second husband, because she's concerned she's an eshtish to the first. Here we don't force her to get married, get divorced from the Kohen, even though we have witnesses that say she was held captive, so she lost her Pesha Asr or Pesha Itzer status. And the reason why is because the prohibition of a woman who had been held captive to marry a Kohen is only a chashash midrabban. It's rabbinic concern, but only a rabbinic concern. And therefore, the rabbis were lenient and said, listen, we have a concern, and therefore such a woman shouldn't marry a Kohen lecharchila from the outset. But once she's married to him, we're not going to break up the marriage over that, just because these witnesses came and said she was held captive. Who says, even if she was held captive, fine, who says that she was violated? We don't know that, and we can assume that she wasn't, because while there's a chashash that she was, since women make their effort, of course, not to be violated, so then we'll rely on her that nothing happened. Truth is, says the Gemara, that this would be true even if she hadn't yet gotten married. Once the Bezin apostate, she could marry Cohen, then that becomes her legal status, and even if later on witnesses come to say she had been held captive, then we still let her marry Cohen. All that is true, of course, where the witnesses who are coming are only testifying she was held captive. They know nothing more. Certainly, if they testify that she had been violated by the Gentiles, then of course she has a status of being a Zona, and even if she's been married for 10 years and has a beautiful family with this Cohen, we force her to get divorced because it's usher for a Zona, a woman who's slept with a Gentile, even against her will, to stay married to a Kohen.